I take the promised Holy Ghost. The blessed power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. Be seated, please. I'm going to get rid of my coat, for it's getting very warm here already. And no doubt it'll get warmer as the sermon picks up its acceleration. This morning, I delivered a message on Moses. And I was emphasizing the fact that this Bible is a Bible of wonders. And everything about the Bible is stamped simply with the wonders of God. And so everything in the Bible needs to be digested, needs to be heeded, needs to be patiently thought out. And when we look on this man, Moses, we are mesmerized by this man because he's one of the greatest men. In fact, we might say he is the greatest human being that ever walked this earth. I'm not referring in that to the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus is God manifest in flesh. He is the God-man. But this man, Moses, was only an ordinary human being. But he was the greatest of them all. So great was he that in the heaven of heavens tonight, as the redeemed saints from this earth, washed in the Redeemer's blood, keep melody in the Lamb that is fairer than day, what do they sing? They sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. So this man was honored by God before any other human beings that have lived or will live or are now living at the present time. His song is joined up with the song of our Lord. So he is a very important character indeed. No man whom worldlings count as fools, chosen of God and not of man, reared in thy secret training school, moves forward thine eternal plan. And now, though hidden from our ken, in Midian desert, Sinai's hill, Spirit of God, thou hast thy men waiting thy time to do thy will. When blazing out upon our night flashes the Pentecostal flame, may I be found with heart alight, burning to magnify thy name. Not as the prophets who declare the word that thousands hear and own, if I may have the smallest share in settling Christ upon his throne. That should be the attitude of every believing child of God. I want you to notice some simple things about this very important and unusual person, the man Moses. If you turn in your Bible over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you will find, first of all, that this man is known as a man who refused. The first thing we are told about him in verse 27 of Hebrews 11, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He was a man who refused. What did he refuse? He refused the throne of Egypt. He was looked upon as a daughter of Pharaoh's son, but he wasn't. He was a Hebrew child of a Hebrew slave who had enough sense to seek God for the salvation of her offspring. And God led her to make a little ark to put her 3 months old baby in that ark, to take it down to the great river Nile, and to set it among the rushes. Pharaoh had declared that every Hebrew male child was to die, was to be drowned, was to be thrown into the river. But God told Jochebed, who was the mother of Moses, that she would do no such thing. She would put it in this little ark. How did she know about an ark and about the ark swimming in waters and bringing people to safety when everybody else was dying? Because she was a Jewish young girl, and because she came of the tribe that eventually gave the priests to the people of Israel. And so she made the little ark. It was made, and every move she made was filled with love and was covered by a prayer. And when she had the little ark made, she laid her little boy in that ark. She had a terrible time for 3 months trying to keep him quiet, because you get a child, bring it to your home, and see, could you keep everybody from not knowing that you had that child? No, the cry of the child. And no doubt Moses, like any other child, could cry. And he did cry. And when he was taken down, and the little ark was placed in the floodwaters of the river Nile, when King Pharaoh's daughter saw that little ark, she said to her ladies in waiting, "Go and fetch me that ark." And they did. And they opened it. And when they opened it, what was Moses doing? He was crying. We go home tonight and lift the book of Exodus, and you'll find the child cried. As an old commentator said, God had the alarm well set, for nothing would break a young woman down as to hear the cry of a child. And it broke the heart of the princess of Egypt. And she said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children. They're trying to hide him, but I'm taking him home." And the Egyptian Pharaoh at that time had no sons. He had only one daughter. And that was his daughter that's mentioned here, who took the little boy from the ark. And the little boy became a man. He was educated in all the skills we read in the Bible. He was educated in all the skills of the scholarship and of the educated universities of that great nation, because Egypt was the greatest nation in the world at that time. Part of the great empire that ruled the world. But this little boy, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused. Not only did he refuse, but he resolved. What did he resolve? Well, if you look at this, you will find that he resolved to suffer. I thought you said, preacher, that the mother wanted to deliver him from suffering. Correct. But this young boy knew that he, if he made known that he was a Jew, that he would have to suffer. Choosing rather to suffer affliction, verse 25, with the people of God. He made a choice. There are men and women in this meeting tonight who have got to make a choice. And it is a very important choice. Whether they remain as they were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, as if they would still continue on the broad way that leads to everlasting death, or would they make a choice and resolve, as they could do, if they wanted to do, choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Every man, every woman, every boy and every girl in this meeting and around the whole world are called by God to make a resolution. Are you going to continue on the way into which you were born? Are you going to go farther and farther and farther and more farther away from God? He has sent His Son after you. That Son had to go to a cross and die for you in order that you might come and get pardon and peace and life everlasting. So this man refused, but he also resolved that he would suffer affliction. Even if I have a rough time, even as if I would go out of my home to the very prison of Pharaoh, I will go. I made a resolution, a very strong resolution. But then there's something else here. He did not only refused and resolved, but he had respect. It says here that he had respect. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He became respectful. Who to? To the God that made him. And he said, O God, thou hast made me. I should have been drowned in the river Nile, but I wasn't, because of my mother's love for me. And now the push is on that I should compromise my position as a Jew and pretend I am an Egyptian. But he said, no, I have respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, there's a reward day coming when everyone shall give before God a defense of what he has done with the blessed Son of God. Today I'm presenting Christ to you as the only Savior. But someday you will have to stand before God himself and his Son and explain why you rejected the Father's love and the Son's blood shed on Calvary for you. Yes, this man refused something. This man resolved something. This man respected something. But this man repudiated something. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. What did this man do? He refused. He resolved. He respected, but he repudiated. He said, I'm not going to live in the palace. I'm not going to wear the crown of Egypt. I'm not going to pretend I'm an Egyptian. I'm taking my place with the slaves. I'm taking my place in judgment. I'm taking my place with all the hatred. All the hatred of Pharaoh against me. And of course, that was fierce, the hatred of the king. And it meant that after 40 years, he had to run for it. And he left Pharaoh, and for another 40 years, he was in the backside of the desert. And the interesting thing is this, that here was a man who had everything, and now he had nothing. I said this morning when I was preaching, the interesting thing is this, that Moses had to give up everything. He once was a prince. He once lived in the palace. He once was looked upon as the heir to the Egyptian throne, and all that that meant. But it didn't work out that way. For by his own choice and by a deliberate act, he repudiated all of those things, and he reverently said, I am going to give them all up. And you know what happened to him? He got the worst job he could have got. He had to go and work for his father-in-law. Now, you couldn't get anything lower than that. Here was a man who had everything, and now he goes as a shepherd. I don't know whether he fell out with his mother-in-law. I have a feeling he did, because he went as far from the house of his in-laws as he could go. He went from where they lived away down to Sinai. What a journey. I'm sure those poor lambs and those poor sheep that he was minding felt like saying, what are you doing, Moses? You're going farther and farther and farther away from your home. Yes, he reverently did it. He did it because he knew God had something for him to do. And one day, in the loneliness, he was passing on past the sheep, and he saw a bush. And the bush was on fire, but the bush didn't burn itself up. It still was the same size. Not a leaf was burned. Not a small little part of the bark of its leaves and its timber were touched. And he said, I will stop. And I look at this strange thing. And when he stopped, his real journey started. Because that day he came face to face with God. And God spoke out of the tree. And God said, cast your shoes off your feet. You're on holy ground. Do you see this tree? It can't be burned up because I'm in it. Moses, nothing can happen to you because I am in this tree. And I want you to go back to Egypt. What? I have left Egypt. They'll kill me if I go back. The Lord said, no, you're going to do the killing, for every one of the firstborn in Egypt are going to be punished for the way they treated you and the Jewish nation. And that brings me to the last 40 years. For 40 years, he went back to Egypt. He stood for all that God was for and against all that God was against. And he brought all the people out of Egypt with a vast numbers of sympathetic people. He brought them out. He brought them across the Red Sea. He brought them for 40 years out from Pharaoh, out from judgment, out from the Red Sea, out from the bitter water. He supplied them through God's goodness by manna for the journey, everyday bread. He defeated the great horde of the body of the Amalekites. They had no water, and he struck the stone in the wilderness, and the water flowed through. And he found that Christ was the God, the Jehovah God who supplied. That's not the end of the story. One day when Christ wanted to talk about the cross, he knew he couldn't talk to his disciples, for they didn't understand it. So he summoned Elias and Moses to come down to the mountain. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, what happened? There was a wonderful meeting between Moses and Elijah and the Lord Jesus. And what did they discuss? They discussed the cross, the death that Christ was going to die. There is only one hope for this world of ours, and that is the death of Christ. By his death, this world can live. By his death, every sinner in this meeting can find eternal life. And I would say to you all, turn while the Savior in mercy is pleading. And steer for the harbor bright. For how do you know? But your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight. Let us bow our heads. O God, our Father, we pray that thou would take this word, this simple word of the Lord, and write it on the hearts of us all. And may we not tarry in the wilderness or refuse to obey thy call for peace and prosperity. May we turn and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. We ask this in the Savior's name. And everybody said, Amen.